This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
Welcome to Connect with Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0. I'm Holly Snape and I have Sally with me on the phone all the way from Waitatuna. How are you today, Sally?
Oh, wonderful, thank you. Bit damp.
Oh, it's, you know, it's funny because autumn comes along and everything suddenly changes, right?
I know, we were all thinking, oh, it's just too hot, and then suddenly torrential rain.
Well, look, to be fair with you, I never thought it was too hot. So, I was quite happy with the heat.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Love the sunshine.
I do enjoy the not having mud.
That's fair. Look, appreciate you joining me today. We're going to talk about the mentoring program, which we have starting up again at Community Waikato. And we'll also have a bit of a conversation about the Mental Health Fund, talk about what's available there and how people might apply to that. So that will make up the bulk of our show today.
Awesome.
And so let's start with the mentoring program. This is a bit of a collaboration. Do you want to explain a bit about what the program is and how it all works?
Yep, sure. So we're collaborating with the Mentoring Foundation of New Zealand, and they have a number of entities around New Zealand who do what we do, partner with them and support the mentoring program. It's basically leadership mentoring in our area. So for us, it's the Waikato region. And so what we do is we have people who are in leadership, and leadership doesn't necessarily mean being the CA or GM. It means a person that's in a leadership role within the area and the community. And we all have different things we need to learn or want support around, or sometimes just to have a knowledgeable person we can bounce ideas off. And so our people apply and they talk about what they do and who they are and what they would like support with, and we then partner them with a mentor that we seek out. Some people in the sector, some people not in the sector, but that has got a specific set of skills or knowledge and ability, and partner them together. And then they enjoy a 6-month relationship where they meet once a month. We have usually three sessions, one in the middle, one at the start, I beg your pardon, where we meet and greet and lay out what we do, and then one in the middle where it's a get-together. We usually have a workshop of some description, and it's just a chance to actually network face-to-face with other people that are in the situation, working with mentors as well, mentees and mentors. And then we have a final session, which is a thank you, an evaluation, a goodbye, and we have another workshop there and we plan the workshops around sort of the flavour of what I'm hearing from our mentors and mentees, which changes each year depending on, things change through the community and the sector. But apart from that, you meet once a month or more, but more if you choose, between you and your mentor. And the relationship is yours. It's nothing to do with me. I support you on the outside, but what you do within your mentoring relationship is yours. And you can, use it, to help grow areas. We've had, actually, funnily enough, we've had a few people move on from roles because they found that actually what they were experiencing was perhaps they'd outgrown the roles they were in and looking for something new. We've had others that have gone on and, talking about study, and some people have just been able to do things within their organisations, develop, effective policies or, specific things that they wanted help with and were unsure where to start. And I think the beauty of it is it's a relationship is just for you, so you're not having to, how can I put it, like if you were talking to a chair or another staff person or so on, you sometimes people can be a bit more guarded because they may feel they need to know those things and they should, they don't want to appear that they don't know how to do things. But when you've got a private mentoring relationship like this to help you in your role and to help your leadership skills, I think it's really, really valuable because it's you can be quite open and, really unpack some stuff. Most people talk about they have, because part of the process is, preparing, this is what I'm wanting, this is what I'm needing. And most people have noted or told me that they've what they started with is quite different to what they ended up with because the things they identified, actually, they were able to do them, but they unpacked a whole load more things that were really, really useful, in the direction that they thought they were going to go and perhaps wasn't the same as what they ended up with.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that's the interesting thing about the program, isn't it, is that it's so wonderfully flexible.
Yes.
You know, it's not like you've got a workbook and this is how you work through from beginning to end.
And get marked off by somebody else overseeing, are you doing this correctly? It's not that at all. It's a professional relationship that we sort of help facilitate, but it's your relationship to move forward with.
Yeah, and I think it's a really important point you raised there about how... this is a private relationship, so you can share things that might be harder to share with your team if you're needing to explore something, grow some skills, tease something out perhaps hasn't
deal
made you
with
feel
an
comfortable.
Issue that's arisen, you know, and it's completely, it's confidential, it's private, but it's a space you can really unpack, what's going on for you. And it's different, I mean, there's always going to be elements of the personal, but it's not like a person, mentoring or coaching on a different level where sometimes you're really unburdening yourself and it's a counselling type session. This isn't this. This is a more professionally focused, way of you expanding your own abilities and skills.
Yeah.
You know, and using some our mentors, well, they come from a range of places. And funnily enough, our mentors talk about how they've learnt just as much as they feel they've given, which is really interesting to hear, because they're highly skilled people, but that's, I suppose part of everybody's got something to give. So I know our mentors, some of them come along a bit tentative and a bit, should I be here? Am I a leader? Am I, am I good enough for this program almost? And of course they are, and they add as much value as they give, as they receive. I mean, so it's a good process. Oh, another part of it, just to help develop the sort of a cohort network, I set up monthly Zoom meetings, they're up to you whether you attend or not. People can and can't, and so people come in and out of those if they've got specific questions or if they're talking. And they're separate. We do ones for mentors and ones for mentees. So they can talk about, a mentor might have, look, this is an issue my mentor, we're talking about this, and has anybody else got information about this or is finding this within the sector? Or whatever, people can just discuss nothing private, but just the overview stuff around, and it just adds to the support, but it also helps you develop a cohort network sort of with peers.
Yeah, and as someone who's been a mentor and I've attended those sessions, people are always very respectful about not identifying who their mentee is also.
Yeah.
So
when
those conversations are had where it's like, hey, can you guys give me a bit of advice about, what might be some other things I could share in this situation?
Yeah.
But no sharing of any sort of personal details.
It's completely private.
I think, I don't even know if we were told that that's what we should do, but there was very natural respect for the privacy of the people that we were all working with.
No, I think it's quite wholesome, springs to mind, actually. It's a really nice relationship. People are doing it. People are doing it because one side needs something and sort of recognises in themselves that having further support is a really good thing.
Yeah.
And other people, the other side, are doing this because they're not paid. They're doing this purely to support, giving us, purely to these skills. They're giving them out to someone else, and there's no reason for doing it apart from that they are choosing to be supportive of other people in the sector.
Yeah. Hey, so what's the criteria for a mentee, someone who thinks, I would love just a bit of extra support, or there's something going on for me, I'd love to be able to, tease that out with someone who's an expert in this area. What's the criteria for a mentee?
Well, to be really, it's just, it can also be for, just because of professional development.
Yeah.
Because even if you haven't got a specific thing being developed, you haven't got an issue or a specific problem that you want to help with or whatever, you just aren't coming along to be mentored by somebody that has a different and perhaps wider range of experience than you have is always a good thing. So it can be as simple as that. So I'm just going to turn...
I'm just wondering, do they need to be from a non-profit organisation?
I beg your pardon. Yes, it is. Our one certainly is specifically for our sector. So I'm going to just scroll down. So, where is it? Really, it's if you're in a leadership role, within an organisation, and as I said before, that doesn't mean being the CE, but that could be, you know, you may be the chair of an organisation. You've just got a specific role.
Or you might be leading a project.
Leading a project, yes, absolutely, in a specific role in your organisation, on a board of trustees, or in something where you're not, where you've got a range of responsibilities and, you know, need some support. But I'm pretty flexible. Many people, there's a lot of people that might be tentative about their fit, but, you know, get on to me. I just encourage you to talk to me and we'll work through it. If you feel like mentoring would be really helpful in this sort of space, talk to me and we can come to that decision. But we are very flexible because, in understanding that most of us have leadership in some area in our work, even if we're not
That's right. So, and you did talk about our sector, and that's pretty broad too. We're community organisations, social services, Māori entities, the environmental sector, disability. You know, it's quite broad. Mm. We generally don't work in the space of sport or the creative sector, as we've got other capacity building organisations in those spaces. But if someone came to you and it's a little, you know, sometimes it's quite hard, isn't it, to determine, is it a social service, is it a creative activity, you know?
Well, that's right. We'd weigh it up. Like if I was already at capacity, I'd probably say, well, this isn't the space. But if there was room within the program, I mean,
it's
the
worth
environment
reaching
and
out, right?
People are there, they're all still supporting community.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I had a person from the environmental sector who ran, essentially, you know, it was a not-for-profit-based entity running community gardens and native tree and restoration sort of projects. So, and she was just looking for some, you know, she had enormous skills, as you can imagine, with, you know, green things, with plants and all that, so ecological, but she wanted some support around, making sure the organisation that she'd set up, because that was really quite difficult. But she saw herself as a gardener, but actually, a tree person, an environmentalist. But, you know, she was leading an organisation that was making quite a significant impact. But that person, as you can imagine, was quite different to someone who is sitting in the space with, you know, 20 staff and, you know, masses of volunteers and, you know, with a board of trustees to answer to. You know, that's quite different people, but they both were just as right for the mentoring, you know, the mentoring relationship as each other, you know. So there's quite a broad range of people that come along from people that have, are small organisations that have started up as a volunteer. You know, they've got three or four volunteers who are board members as well as running everything and doing it all. They are just as, you know, they have the same, they're leading that role. They're making a difference in their space in the same way somebody on a much broader organisation that's been established for many years is, you know, doing. So, we're pretty flexible.
Yeah, I think that's key, really. Someone just needs to reach out and have a conversation with you. Yep. And if they do want to, can you just give us quickly those contact details for you?
Sure. So my email is sally@communitywaikato.org.nz, or the details are all on the website as well. So just our website, communitywaikato.org.nz, and you can see where there is to apply, or there's a PC just to click in and contact me.
I think absolutely fantastic. And I know, look, from someone who's been involved with the program, I've found it absolutely brilliant. I've been involved a couple of times now. Can you tell us when it actually starts and then how long it will go for?
Well, I'm hoping people will start. I have some applications on already. We'll probably kick off, and again, a little bit flexy, it depends on the numbers of people coming in, but hopefully we'd probably kick off towards the end of April, early May, and then 6 months from that, and so you're finishing up with it May to June, July, November, we're finishing up in November.
Perfect. Yeah, so basically people got a week or two now would be great for people to start just getting in touch and exploring a bit about what it might be for
them. Either explore, or if they think, I might just apply, then the links are just at the website. Click in and just put your information down, you know, and then I follow up with you anyway after that. So, you know, that can be as simple as that. You don't actually have to get on to me and discuss things. If you think, actually, I'd like to do this, I think this is for me, I follow up anyway. So, whichever's easiest. And actually, I do want to put a bit of a punt out there for mentors.
It's going to turn to mentors next.
Oh, good. Sorry, I was there with me. I thought, oh, my goodness, we've talked about the mentees, which are...
I'm listening to this rooster in your background as well.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
You're out on the farm. Hey, look, we will turn to mentors, though, sure. because that's obviously the other side of the program. Mm. And we have a community sector full of very capable people. So tell us a bit about what we're looking for in mentors, and are we asking for people to put their hand up for that role as well?
Yep, because the same thing, the mentors apply, but then I need, the mentees I mean, then I need to find mentors. And we do, I mean, I've got some fabulous ones that, because once you've done it once, I don't let you go, you see. So,
yeah.
If we've got someone with specific, last year, again, it was somebody with, it was way up, a very rural isolated place in out the back of Coromandel, and but they were doing a range of things, but there was education, there was ecological stuff, there's all sorts involved, and I found the perfect person who happened to have not only a degree in sort of eco sciences and so forth, but also had worked within community, had done a range of things, and it was just a magical match because so sometimes people have specific needs, and to be able to find someone, have some mentors with a range of services, I might think, yes, that person there, well, they've got, some people ask for specific areas or have specific issues or working in a specific area, and I can meet that. So I like to have some mentors there. I almost always use everybody, but even if I don't, I very much appreciate, having you on my books, so to speak, because there'll be somebody will come along that'll be, really necessary.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just going to chase that bird away.
Nothing wrong with the bird. It's quite nice having a little bit of the country sound in the background. I think it is critical. We're trying to, I think each year we add more mentors to this fraternity of skilled practitioners across the sector, and sometimes a bit outside of our sector those are the skills we're looking for. So, so it might be that mentors are used one year but not the next.
Yes, there has been a few cases of that, just because of the type of people we've had. And sometimes, sad, I've had one or two this year aren't going to be able to do it because their own work requirements. Because, of course, our mentors tend to be busy people already, the mm-hmm. people at the top of the game that are doing a lot of stuff, which is why they're so valuable. But, of course, that also means that they're in high demand for other things.
Absolutely. and that is what it is, right? So again, if people are thinking, actually, this might be an interesting way just to give back. But I think the point you made at the beginning as well, actually, is that there's a lot of learning to be mm-hmm. had on the mentor side as well, which is, a real bonus.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I think there's people too that have significant skills that don't recognise that what they have would be so valuable to pass on to others. They don't. So we have it's interesting because I look at these people and think, wow, you just are another bomb. And I say, I wasn't sure if I was going to be right for this, and have I got enough to offer? And I'm looking and thinking, I rate them so highly and always have because I know what they're like, and yet their own internal stories that maybe I'm not right. I don't want to let my mentee down. So it's really interesting how people perceive themselves. It's quite
We're a humble sector.
Yeah, well, I think you're right. It's absolutely what it is. I had a great thought then. Now it's gone. It was something nice.
It was probably the most profound thing you were going to say in this whole
profound.
Interview.
It
I
was.
Mean, man, Sally.
It was just so profound that it left me quite quickly.
Look, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a few minutes just to think about it while I play us a song.
All right.
And when we come back, we'll finish this conversation off, but then we'll turn to the Mental Health Fund and just have a bit of a chat about what's available there.
Okay, thanks, Holly.
Fantastic. So this here, what am I going to play? What am I going to play, Sally? I thought some Belinda Carlisle, Heaven is a Place on Earth. What do you say about that?
Oh, well, that feels nice.
Yeah, classic. Yeah. Brilliant. All righty.
Ooh, baby, do you know that's what? Ooh, heaven is a place on earth. They say
Belinda Carlisle, Heaven is a Place on Earth. And I have with me Sally on the phone from Waitatuna, also from Community Waikato. And we've been talking about the mentoring program. Did you remember what you'd forgotten, Sally?
I did. I was thinking about the relationship responsibility.
Yes.
Because I want the mentors to know that, like, it's not a substitute for professional advice. It's not counselling or therapy. And the mentor does the work. It's not for you to be writing, you know, say they need a range of policies or looking for HR, you know, expertise or something. That's not your role.
Yeah.
The role is the mentee who does it, and also for the mentee to drive the relationship. They're the ones that need to, set up, you know, a roster or however it works on the calendar for the meetings and follow up. You know, if the mentor gives them some tasks or some thinking pieces to do during a meeting, it's the mentor's responsibility to do that, not the
mentee's
responsibility.
Yeah.
Not the mentor's role to be following up and say, hey, we're supposed to be meeting, or have you done this yet? You know, I'll give you another way. You know, whatever it is, it's your role is there to be the support and mentor them, not to work for them. And
yes.
So I'm thinking in terms, you know, we were talking about being busy people, and mentors tend to be busy people, which is why they're at the top of their game, and such appropriate mentors. But it's not about adding work to them. There is a time, you know, an hour or a month on that sort of thing, but, you know, just keeping one's mentee responsibility.
It's not a big burden, yeah.
No, it's not a burden, no.
So, if people are interested, though, do jump on our website. You can get hold of Sally, ask any questions you have, or sign up either as a mentor or mentee. But in the last 3 minutes we've got, Mental Health Fund. Can you tell us a bit about what that is and
sure.
What people should do if they're interested?
Okay. So the Mental Health Fund, it was created by a very long time ago now, an organisation that supported some aspect of mental health, you know, closed down, and they had some money left over, and they looked around and found Community Waikato, or Social Services for Waikato as we were, to manage the last of the funding and give it out it's $1,000 a year, you know, it's the interest and a little bit of the principal, I imagine, to be $1,000 a year to give out to one, usually one or maybe two people for that, and there's a lot less criteria around it. It's called a scholarship, but actually it can be as long as it benefits clients, enables the recipient to train or support others, supports the particular needs of minority groups, and or assists recipients on low or no income. It can be anything. So we can cover travel and accommodation costs, maybe there's childcare. You know, so it doesn't have to pay for the thing.
For the
and it doesn't
course,
have to be an academic thing. It can be a class. We've had it used for all sorts of things.
But to be clear, it's about professional development for someone who's going to
working
be...
Working in the area of mental health.
Working support. In mental health, yeah.
Yeah, mental ill health sort of area. So if you're providing support around that, it's very broad what you can spend it on.
Yes.
Not overseas travel would be one thing, you can't have it. But for the rest, we have actually supported somebody to pay the tickets of some particular thing in the mental health area that was run in Australia, you know,
mm-hmm.
so... all that sort of thing, you know, it was not the tickets, but you know, to attend, you know,
the conference costs,
costs and that sort
yeah.
of thing, you know, so it's very broad if you're doing something in that area, creative arts type stuff, you know, it's not a tight
criteria,
like the academic ones, it has to be, you know, so many F points or
yes.
this, you know, it's much more broad than that.
And it's really though people working in mental health and as much in the non-profit sector as possible.
Oh, absolutely. Working in the not-for-profit sector in the area of supporting in mental health. So it could be somebody working in a community house who's doing a program around schizophrenia. You know how to supporting people that are having issues with that to navigate systems or whatever. You know, it's very broad.
So if people want to apply, how do they go about it?
There's a link in our website, but basically just email me and you the application should be, I'll read it directly off here, should be in writing, detailing information on the proposed training, including the costs, when and where and with whom the training will take place, and outline how the applicant and the trainee meet the Mental Health Training Fund criteria, which is at the website, but I also can email it to you. Includes a name and contact details of a referee, and then just email it to me.
So it's nice and simple.
Yeah, very simple.
If you are looking at doing a little bit of professional development in that space, it might be worth reaching out.
Yeah,
absolutely. So I think that's us for this week. I do really appreciate you joining me. Appreciated hearing the rooster in the background. Thank you very much for a little bit of light entertainment.
No trouble, Holly.
Fantastic. And right. You have been listening to Connect with Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.